From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Deer cutting chainsaws, killing the trees. Something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet. And you'll also hear about folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. This is activist radio, and I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up on a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down at the Dragon in the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. And as always, we're going to start off with announcements from those of you who are in the San Francisco Bay Area. Coming up August 26th, that's a Saturday, a week away here. This is the Bay Area Organic Consumers Association is going to have a half-day public event to educate area residents about the hazards of genetic engineering and empower them with tools to take grassroots action to drive these foods off the market and catalyze the transition to a healthy and sustainable food and agricultural system. Once again, the event is August 26th, that's a Saturday, from 12:30 to 5:30, and the location is the Women's Building, 3543 18th Street. That's between Valencia and Guerrero in the Mission District of San Francisco. Afternoon will commence with a panel discussion, be followed by grassroots organizing workshops. Once again, August 26th, 12:30 to 5:30 at the Women's Building, 3543 18th Street between Valencia and Guerrero in the Mission District of San Francisco. If you'd like further information, here's the phone number to call, 415-436-0220. That's 415-436-0220. Or here's an email address, sf@purefood.org. That's sf@purefood.org. $10 donation requested. No one turned away for lack of funds. Calls are needed to stop road building in the Minnesota roadless area. On July 4th, a massive storm blew down a bunch of trees in the Superior National Forest of Minnesota. Since then, there have been public hearings and a number of Forest Service proposals to deal with the downed trees. One of the areas included in the storm blowdown is the Little East Creek roadless area. It's about a 15,000 acres of Boundary Waters and Canoe Area wilderness in the Superior National Forest. The Forest Service is now trying to use storm blowdown as an excuse to do massive road building and logging in Little East Creek. They're asking you to call or send an email to Chief Dombeck and ask him to deny emergency status for Little East Creek in Minnesota. I'll give you that phone number and address in just a minute. Some of the points to raise in your conversation or letter are: Little East Creek is an isolated area located adjacent to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. The alleged threat does not exist to the Little East Creek that would necessitate an emergency expedited process by bypassing environmental review. The proposed project would expand the 19.1 mile of temporary roads to 26 miles of permanent roads and approximately 28 additional miles of temporary roads. That's 54 miles roads all total. The proposed logging under the emergency grant will allow logging in representative old growth areas and potential wild and scenic river areas Logging will remove 2,000 acres of proposed old growth areas. The Canadian lynx will be significantly impacted by road building maintenance and associated logging. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has not even been included in the formal consultation as of yet. If you'd like more information, oh, here's the address for Chief Mike Dombeck, U.S. Department of Agricultural's Forest Service. His number, 202-205-1661. That's 202-205-1661. His fax, 202-205-1610. That's 202-205-1610 is the fax number for Mike Dombeck. And his email is mdombeck@fs.fed.us. That's mdombeck, mdombeck, at fs.fed.us. Now, if you'd like more information about this Minnesota roadless area, give a call to Lois, who is the Upper Midwest Organizer for American Lands. Her number, 952-881-7282. That's 952-881-7282. Or send email to lnorr at uswest.net. That's lnorr at uswest.net. And calls are needed to stop the fee demo extension, this nasty little fee demo that you have to pay to park and hike in your national forests. We've got to end this, and soon. A rider in the state interior appropriations bill would extend the recreational fee demonstration program, also known as fee demo, for another year until 2002. Recreation fees create a perverse incentive for public land agencies to maximize high-impact recreational activities such as ski resorts, which generate more revenue for land managers. Rather than extending fee demo again through a rider, Congress should allow the program to expire next September as scheduled. Action. Please write or call your representative and senators this August and urge them to remove the fee demo extension rider from the Interior Appropriations Bill. Ask your representative or senator to definitely stop it. And we have to thank Dianne Feinstein in the Senate, who, when the bill came up for a universal voice vote to allow it to be a rider, she said no. Anyway, get in touch with members of the conference committee, including Senators Stevens, Cochran, Domenici, Burns, Bennett, Gregg, Campbell, Byrd, Leahy, Hollins, Reed, Dorgan, Cole, and Feinstein, and Congressional Representatives Regula, Colby, Skine, Taylor, Nethercutt, Wamp, King, Peterson, Young, Dix, Mirtha, Moran, Kramer, Hinchey, and Obey. For more information, contact Melanie at American Lands. Her number, 202-547-9267. That's 202-547-9267. And vote no on fee demo. Sea Shepherd International is offering a $2,000 reward for any information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the death of baby beluga whale found shot to death near Point Campbell in Alaska on July 23rd. The six-foot whale is about a month old and may have been part of the threatened Cook Inlet subspecies, whose population has plummeted 50% in the last 6 years. The baby beluga whale had been shot twice. All right, if you have any information about that shooting, contact the Sea Shepherd International at 360-370-5500. That's 360-370-5500. And the Wisconsin campaign to ban cyanide in mining wants your help. You are invited to join the Wisconsin campaign to ban cyanide in mining. The recent cyanide disasters at mines in Europe prompted groups in Wisconsin to call for a ban on cyanide mining. Legislation will be introduced in the upcoming legislative session. Like the mining moratorium campaign, the Wisconsin campaign to ban cyanide in mining will ask candidates to pledge their support and ask groups and local governments to pass resolutions supporting a ban on cyanide in mining. If your group would like to be listed as part of the campaign, or if you need more information, contact the Wisconsin campaign to ban cyanide in mining, care of Wolf Watershed Educational Project, care of Midwest Treaty Network, 731 State Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Once again, the Wisconsin campaign to ban cyanide in mining, the Wolf Watershed Educational Project, care of Midwest Treaty Network, 731 State Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. 800-445-8603, and you can call their hotline for free at 800-445-8615. That's 800-445-8615, or email to mtn@igc.org. That's mtn for mountain at igc.org. And from Sydney, Australia, among the many protest groups gearing up to make their mark during next year's Sydney Olympics, there is an overwhelming favorite. From anti-capitalists to environmentalists, from trade unions to lesser-known demonstrators such as the people indigenously subverting the Sydney Olympic farce, or piss off, the team they all want to win is Australia's Aborigines. Indeed, some groups plan to deliberately downplay their own protests so the spotlight remains on the Aborigine demonstrations during the September 15th to October 1st games, coming up real soon. The student group Campaign Against Corporate Tyranny and United in Unity and Solidarity, or CACTUS, has been waging a local campaign against Nike and other game sponsors McDonald's and Coca-Cola, but plans to join indigenous rights protesters outside the opening ceremony. Aboriginal activists pledge that their protests will be peaceful, although with just 6 weeks before the games kick off, many have yet to receive authorization for protest sites or demonstrations. Outspoken Aboriginal leader Charles Perkins, who hit international headlines earlier this year when he said visitors to the Olympics would find burning cars and buildings, has since toned down his comments. Quote, the whole idea is peaceful, nonviolent protests. You'll have to wait and see what develops in the couple of weeks before the games start, Perkins told Reuters. Boomerang throwing is just one of the events planned at the Injustices Protest and Cultural Expo, which Aboriginal campaigners Protest 2000 want to set up in a park near the main Olympic site at Homebush. Busing demonstrators from around the country, Protest 2000 reckons up to 20,000 Aboriginals will be marching daily to the Olympic Stadium. Their numbers swollen by non-Indigenous supporters. We've got representatives from every tribe coming to the protest, and there are about 500 tribes in Australia. According to Trevor Close, Protest 2000 organizer and president of the United Githabul Tribal Nation Aboriginal Incorporated, told Reuters. Activists are demanding better conditions for Australia's 430,000 Aboriginals, whose life expectancy is almost 20 years less than non-Indigenous Australians. They're also campaigning for compensation and a formal apology for the stolen generation of up to 100,000 Aboriginal children who were taken from their families and raised in government institutions. A lawsuit's been filed over a Forest Service road protest. The Justice Department is suing the Jarbridge Shovel Brigade, a citizens group opposed to the federal closure of the U.S. Forest Service road in northeastern Nevada. The complaint seeks damages for trespasses arising out of the Shovel Brigade's actions to reopen the South Canyon Road on July 3rd and 4th. The U.S. Forest Service says the road, which washed out in 1995, should not be repaired because construction work would accelerate soil erosion and harm the Jarbridge River's threatened bull trout. The river is home to the southernmost population of bull trout in North America. In 1998, Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt issued an emergency declaration listing the bull trout as threatened, making the road closure permanent. But the Shovel Brigade, manned by hundreds of shovels sent to the protesters by supporters from around the country, said the 1.5-mile stretch of dirt road belongs to Elko County. They want the road, which provides access to a trailhead and fishing and camping sites, reopened to campers. Critics also argue the road is needed to provide emergency access for fire trucks and other emergency vehicles. For many, the real issue is the right of American citizens to access public lands. During protests on July 4th, about 500 people removed boulders placed by the Forest Service to block the road and cleared a pedestrian path along a 100-yard section of the road. Defendants then caused the road to be hewn from the area restored by the Forest Service in 1998, says the federal suit. The ground-disturbing activities directed by the defendants caused injury to the United States. The lawsuit seeks unspecified damages for the brigade's activities and a court order barring additional work on the road without permits. And they won't get them either. Following is a call to action. As you know, Wisconsin Public Service, Whoops, and Minnesota Power, MPL, are proposing to construct a combination 345-kilovolt transmission line, that's for electricity, and a 48-strand fiber-optic telecommunications line from Duluth, Minnesota to Wausau, Wisconsin. As Steve Heinecker of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin says, this project contains something to offend everybody, including permanently defoliating 6,000 acres and crossing 23 critical waterways as it wends its way across northwest Wisconsin. Initially, this project will transport an average of 600 megawatts of coal-fired electricity originating from the mouth of MPL's BNI coal mine in center North Dakota, as well as electricity from Manitoba Hydro into Wisconsin. Later, it will be used to export power from Wisconsin, acting as the catalyst of a new 1-gigawatt nuclear generating station in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. This will be the first new nuclear power plant built in the United States since Three Mile Island. Lost in the hoopla is an initial 12-mile stretch through Minnesota. MPL is trying to circumvent the rules by asking for an exclusion from having to do any environmental impact study on this Minnesota portion of the route. You can help stop this project in its track by acting now. Please plan to attend one or all of the following meetings. Monday, 21st of August, a pre-conference hearing in downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota. Monday, 28th of August, MEQB hearings in Proctor, that's near Duluth, Minnesota. And on Tuesday, August 29th, MEQB hearings in Proctor, that is Duluth, Minnesota. So you need to get to Duluth to do anything, apparently. If you need more information, contact Phil Fullman at West 10291 Old Murray Road. That's West 10291 Old Murray Road, Exeland. That's Exeland, Wisconsin 54835. Once again, that's Phil at West 10291 Old Murray Road, Exeland, Exeland, I guess. Exeland, I have no idea. Wisconsin 54835. Didn't even bother to try looking that one up on a map either. If you'd like to talk to Phil on the phone, 763-595-0200. That's 763-595-0200. And hello from the Buffalo Field Campaign. We are having a great summer, they write. It's nice to see the buffalo free and safe in Yellowstone. Our table is set up at Artist's Point in Yellowstone National Park, and we did have a table in the Teton National Park for 2 weeks. Currently, we are unable to have the Teton table due to our small number of volunteers, but we are hoping that will change. Thanks to all for visiting us at the table, and a big thanks to all our supporters. It's hard to for a volunteer to give up their entire summer and sit in a hot parking lot talking to folks surviving on peanut butter sandwiches. And thanks to all the volunteers who have come and helped out for a week or two this summer, and they're looking for more. Also, a hearty thanks to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and Honor the Earth, as well as the Fund for Nature, Y2Y, and the Acorn Foundation for their support. If you're visiting Yellowstone Park, please stop by our table or visit us at our home in West Yellowstone, Montana, if they haven't burnt down yet. If you want to come up and help, please let them know in advance so they can set up a time to meet with you and give the nickel tour. They also need committed volunteers to help table if you can spend a week or so in the park. And a reminder, a donation of $36 keeps one volunteer in the field for 1 week. Thanks for your support. Your donations are tax deductible. The Buffalo Field Campaign is in need of a truck that can handle getting firewood, usually about 40 cords a year. That's a hell of a lot of firewood. Vehicle donations are tax deductible at the Blue Book value, but we want a reliable vehicle. They don't have funds for fixer-uppers. And for the Buffalo, Valerie sends her thanks. The Buffalo Field Campaign, formerly Buffalo Nations, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. That's the Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. And give them a call at 406-646-0070. That's 406-646-0070. Write to them at buffalo@wildrockies.org. Or you can go to the www.wildrockies.org/buffalo website and find everything you need there. From Northern California, there's a proposed resolution to the freshwater tree sit. This in an email from Nathan Madsen and the Good Neighbor Grove Coalition. Starts off, "We, the members and groups of the Good Neighbor Grove Coalition, are hereby seeking resolution to the long-standing community-organized freshwater tree sit action. Nate Madsen has been residing in an ancient redwood named Mariah in order to protect Mariah from the devastating and illegal actions of the Maxam Pacific Lumber Company's logging practices. Those practices have caused flooding, erosion, mudslides, exacerbated the rate of extinction, hampered the sustainability of our forest resource and local economy, and destroyed the private property and quality of life of local residents. Uncle Dennis isn't going to read all of this proposal, but basically they want to save about a half a mile by a 300-mile no-cut buffer zone as a conservation easement. Sounds like a good idea, and they're asking Pacific Lumber Company to donate the land or donate the easement. If that sounds good to you, call Maxam. Their number, 713-975-7600. That's 713-975-7600. Ask to speak to Maxam President Paul Schwartz or Sean Hurwitz or their attorney Dale Head. Once again, the number at Maxam, 713-975-7600, and ask to speak to Paul Schwartz, Sean Hurwitz, or Dale Head, the attorney. Tell them to protect Mariah and the tree Nate Madsen has been sitting in Freshwater, California, or you can call in the evening and leave a message on their voicemails. What the hell? Give it a try. Might work. We can save another couple acres of redwood forest. The USGS, that's the United States Geological Survey, wants me to tell you about their water quality information available soon. They'll be releasing reports this upcoming fall and early winter on the quality of streams and groundwater in 16 river basins across this nation. They've been studying these things for the occurrence and distribution of pesticides, nutrients, trace metals, and industrial chemicals, condition of the aquatic habitat, and the status of fish communities. Each assessment relates environmental conditions to local effects of agricultural and urban land uses, point and non-point sources of contaminants, natural geologic features, direct water quality comparisons. We'll put your local conditions in a regional and national context. If you are interested in these reports, one is for the Long Island, New Jersey coastal drainages, the Allegheny and Monongahela basins of Pennsylvania, Lake Erie, Lake St. Clair Basin, the Kanawha New River Basin, West Virginia and Virginia, North Carolina, the Upper Tennessee River Basin, the Santee Basin, and the coastal drainages of South Carolina and North Carolina, Southern Florida, the Mississippi Embayment, of course that's Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky, the Lower Illinois River Basin in Illinois, the Eastern Iowa Basins of Iowa and Minnesota, the Upper Mississippi River Basin of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and South Dakota, the South Central Texas River Basin, Central Arizona Basins, the Upper Colorado River Basin, the Sacramento Basin of California, and the Puget Sound Basin of Washington. If you'd like to receive this information, they ask that you include in your email your mailing address, position, phone, fax, email, website, and whatever you can else you information you want to give them. Basically, they're doing you a favor by giving you this information for free, by the way. Please send an email to PAHAMILT, that's PAHAMILT, at USGS.gov, and let them know which of the reports that you want to receive. You can also make a phone call to Pixie at 804-261-2602, that's 804-261-2602, to get that information. Let's see, we've got some information here about things that are happening up in the Slocan Valley of British Columbia. That's in western Canada. Headline, equipment damaged at Trozo Creek logging site. Balaclavas and camouflage clothing spook watchmen. A story by Laura Schroeder of the Daily News staff. Vandalism of contractors. Equipment has brought violence to the previously peaceful Trozo Creek forest protest. Violence or just destruction of contractors' equipment? We've moved beyond a peaceful, quiet protest, Alex Ferguson of Slocan Forest Products said Wednesday. That's quite clear now. Sugar, dirt, and metal filings were poured into the fuel tanks of seven pieces of road building equipment on the weekend, causing approximately $20,000 to $30,000 in damage, according to a Nelson RCMP, that's Royal Canadian Mounted Police, news release. Trozo Creek, just north of Winlaw in the Slocan Valley, has been the site of ongoing protests against a logging road being built in the area by Slocan Forest Products contractor. Some residents say the road and plant logging threaten their water sources, but those working on the road say it's a relatively simple job. The vandalism was one of a series of incidents that Ferguson says have prompted Slocan Forest Products to hire professional security guards to patrol the area. Last week, police were called to the Trozo Creek area several times, but protesters were gone when they arrived, the RCMP news release states. On Thursday evening, a private watchman hired by Slocum Forest Products saw three vehicles travel up the road where work is underway and return shortly afterwards with fewer occupants. Later that same evening, the watchman saw six people dressed in balaclavas and camouflage clothing walking through the bush, and he thought at least one of them was carrying a weapon, according to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. All right, we're going to take a short musical break here and be back with more news right after this selection from Casey Neal off of his Paw Prints cassette, which is no longer available. This one's called The Power Is Turning.
Serpent's eye. The power is turning. The power is turning. Rogue spirits are waiting, anticipating. Voices long forgotten again will awaken. The fire in the eye of the ego, deep and regal. No voice rivals the song of the past. At last, at last, at last, the power is turning. The wild sea is burning. Watch as it comes alive. A world is emerging. See it in the gleam of the serpent's eye. The power is turning. The power is turning. This is not the end of the world, it is only the beginning. An awakening, a reckoning, the nameless is returning. Rising from the western ocean, shining off the sea. Carried by a magic wind, alive again, alive again. The power is turning, the wild sea is burning. Watch as it comes alive. A world is emerging. See it in the gleam of the serpent's eye. The power is turning. The power is turning. The power is turning. The power is turning.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.